Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program about the vegan lifestyle happening worldwide.
I am vegan, hear me roar.
Manifesting a world of wellness, health, peace, freedom, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management.
Every animal born, I am vegan.
In this episode, we are joined by a 69-year-old woman who is a powerful force in the vegan movement and has been for decades. She's a nationally ranked sprinter, a vegan author, chef, former TV anchorwoman, and a real estate agent. Originally from St. Louis, now in Sarasota, Florida. Some of her books include Eat Vegan on $4 a Day, Paleo Vegan, Vegan Fitness for Mortals, Vegan Sex, Vegan for One. Before we're joined by Ellen Jaffe Jones, let's hear more of I Am Vegan, Hear Me Roar by Vegan Smythe in Australia. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation.
I am vegan, hear me roar, like an engine, like a chanting crowd, like solidarity with every animal born. I am vegan, hear me roar. I am old and I am new. I'm a seed inside of you. I'm a habit that's been broken. I'm alive, aware, awake and open. As I walk a brave new track, I'm the future looking back. Find the heart within the heartless and a light to break the darkness. I am vegan, hear me roar. Like chanting proud, like solidarity with every animal born. I am vegan, hear me roar. I am strong and I am sane. I am simple to explain. I'm a living contribution to the next step in our evolution. I'm the bell that's being rung, an idea whose time has come, a momentous obligation to fight for liberation. I am vegan, hear me roar, like an engine, like a chanting crowd, like solidarity with every animal born. I am vegan, hear me roar. I am vegan, hear me roar. Like an engine, like a chanting crowd, like solidarity with every animal born. I am vegan, hear me roar. I am vegan, hear me roar. I am vegan, hear me roar.
Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Ellen Jaffe Jones via Skype in Sarasota, Florida. She is just so helpful to the vegan movement. I just can't say enough about Queen Ellen. So thank you very much, Ellen Jaffe Jones, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Well, that's a first, Marlene. I've been called a lot of things, but I'll take it. You're too kind. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for all you do.
Oh, you're so sweet. And back at you, by the way. It's hard to do this, you know, on a regular basis, what you do. And I know how hard it is to come up with guests, because I had to do it myself for many years in TV news. I do this because my mom, aunt, and both sisters had breast cancer. We were part of the BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene studies. So if you go to the doctor routinely now and get that genetic testing, that's because our family genes were all over the place, including the Supreme Court, by the way, because Myriad Genetics wanted to patent the breast cancer gene, believe it or not. They lost that in the Supreme Court. But anyway, that's our family history. I'm the only adult female without breast cancer. My aunt died of it in our home when I was 5. So that was really traumatic. And I thought all my life, I got to figure out a way to avoid this mess. They all had diabetes and heart disease. And as the youngest in my family, I had a lifetime to see what I didn't want to happen to me to the extent I could prevent it. And that's really where I saw so much needless pain and suffering that I believe could have been so easily prevented. So that's why I do this.
Well, thank you. You do this and beyond. Wow. So our listeners will get an idea of the vast array of information that you provide for people.
Well, just a little background. I did spend 18 years in television news as a reporter and investigative reporter in Miami in particular, where I found out the school superintendent was stealing gold-plated plumbing for a summer home. So some people remember me there for that story. And, you know, I just was trying to, after I left television, I became a media consultant for a period of time and got Dr. Neil Barnard, who I had seen give a talk at one point, and I got him on the phone and I said, by any chance, would your organization, Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, need media consulting? And he said, as a matter of fact, I was thinking of doing that for my staff. So that began 2 years of really great trips back to Washington, where I was able to media train not only his staff, but a lot of the doctors that are now on the lecture circuit today, put them through this pretty rigorous media training program that I had at the time. And that's really where I started percolating the idea for my first book, because I had also been a stockbroker at Smith Barney after I left television. And I thought, if we could just convince people how cheap it is to be eating vegan, because I'd been doing this most of my life anyway, I thought, wow, you know, I think we could really get a lot more people to come to the vegan table. And in my experience as a stockbroker, a company like Anheuser-Busch, for example, really didn't give a hoot about environmental issues and saving the planet. But if they could recycle not only their own company's cans, but other companies' cans, then all of a sudden their annual report said they were socially responsible. So to me, I learned that for corporations, it's about saving money. And if you can show people how much they can save money by eating vegan, as one guy who was walking by my table at a veg fest I was doing goes, he said, I don't know about vegan, but you had me at $4 a day. So that kind of began this journey of trying to figure out, how do you reach people? What is it that's going to ring true for them, even if it really has nothing to do with veganism, but you can connect those dots? And that's what I started doing in that book. And that was really the first, when I started writing that in 2008, it was the first time anybody ever put an estimated price on every single recipe that was in a cookbook. And I just felt like that would be the single most important thing that could convince people how ridiculously cheap it can be to eat vegan.
Great. Let's hear about Kitchen Divided.
All right. So at the time, I was, let's just say that none of my partners, up until fairly recently, had been vegan. So I was living with, and I'm just sort of setting the stage for some of my other books. So at this point, I was married to a guy who was not vegan, and I was really getting tired of feeling like I was a short order chef because I was cooking two different meals. And, you know, quite frankly, I hated that. And so I got to the point where I developed recipes where the main course was for me, and then he could have it be his main course, but he could plop whatever animal products he wanted to plop into it, and I didn't have to deal with it anymore. So that was really the setting for that book, and it was also focused on tips on how to keep yourself from going insane when dealing with some of these issues and getting to ask the tough questions, as I would eventually do. So the idea was to streamline the cooking process, because a lot of people do live in these mixed marriages, and I wanted it to be easier than it was for me. So that was book number two. Book number three was Paleo Vegan, because at the time, all the paleo books were quite the rage and just all the same theme. And I just really wanted to reclaim the title of Paleo for Vegans. And sure enough, a cover story on National Geographic came out about a year after that book title did, and it was called The Real Paleo Diet, and it said that it basically quoted out of the book, and it didn't give me any attribution for it, but it said the same things I did, which was that the planet can't sustain a diet based around meat and dairy, and that our true Paleolithic relatives really were way more gatherers than they were hunters, and it wasn't like a wild boar was running through our backyard three times a day that we could catch easily and eat it and not get sick and die. So that was paleo vegan. And then, you know, I've been a runner for 40 years, almost as long as I've been vegan. And, you know, as you age up, you just show up at a race and you start, when you compete, you end up placing. And I mean, that's not entirely true because retirees also have lots of time to hire coaches and make them quite good at things they never had time to do before. So as a result, the short story is I became a nationally ranked sprinter. As of yesterday, I have placed in 225 5K or longer races for my age group since 2006, just on plants. And so my fourth book was Vegan Fitness for Mortals, because I really wanted to have a little balance. At that time, the only books that were out on fitness were written by these very gorgeous, very young, hulked up, bulked up bodybuilders, and I just wanted something that was a little more mainstream for those of us, especially women, wanting to get off the couch and start a fitness program. So that book has beginner, intermediate, and advanced starting points for all different kinds of sports, not only running, but walking, weightlifting, swimming, cycling, all of the different sports, and trying to figure out where you are in that beginner to advanced spectrum to plug into a program that's easy to start. And I get almost, you know, every day a message from someone wanting to know, how can I start a fitness program and, you know, finish without injury. That's really my motto. So book number five, Vegan Sex, again, because all of my partners, every single one of them, they have not been vegan at all and not very supportive. And interestingly, all had erectile dysfunction, which is the leading indicator of heart disease by as much as 30 years. We were always told, oh, it's just a part of the aging process. Pop the pill, you'll be fine. Well, it wasn't fine. My husband at the time ended up, and this was the one who was the inspiration sort of for Kitchen Divided, he ended up having a heart attack, and he woke up from surgery and said, I never want to have this pain again. Help me go vegan. It lasted 6 weeks, and then he was done. And I was also done. Just, you know, I spent a month in cardiac rehab with him. And, you know, the head of the cardiac unit said, you know, just bring in your Vitamix. You know more than about diet and nutrition than anybody on our staff, including our doctors, so just make smoothies every day for them. And, you know, I was doing that.
We're listening to Ellen Jaffe Jones, vegan author of six books, and we're talking about book number five, Vegan Sex.
Dr. Joel Kahn was my co-author. He is a cardiologist out of Detroit, and he gets into the medical aspects and the research that was used in The Game Changer, The Game Changers, the movie. And, you know, we came out with a book about a year before that movie came out. He talks about the medical part, and I talk about the personal part. You know, there really wasn't anybody who had written anything about that at all before we did. And, you know, for men that I have talked to since who have been with vegan women, because basically what it boils down to is we're eating more fruits and vegetables that have more water in them, so we're more lubricated. And, you know, I had been warned, oh my gosh, if you ever have sex past the age of 50 or 60, it's going to be painful and you won't be able to have it. It's such BS. You know, it's totally a different and wonderful experience, and I really wanted to focus on that. So and then I joke, if vegan sex doesn't work out, vegan for one, and that really focuses on reducing the amount of waste that we have when we're just cooking for one person. And you know, so the recipes in there are just single serving recipes if you want to cut down on the amount of waste. So that's it in a nutshell.
Wow, that's great. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ellen. We're listening to Ellen Jaffe Jones via Skype in Sarasota, Florida. Ellen is a nationally ranked sprinter, vegan author, chef, cooking instructor, vegan lifestyle coach, personal trainer. She's amazing. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Ellen Jaffe Jones.
This is your very own Dr. G behind the microphone here at WCUW.org, streaming out across those interwebs and live 91.3 FM. Community radio serving Worcester and beyond. I'll be bringing you yet another patent-pending sonic thrill ride designed to have you prancing around your yurt while consuming your finest non-GMO and heirloom grain. Nola every Thursday morning from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Much love, and I'll see you soon out there in the ethers.
One more time with Fun Drive, people. You can do it. Get on WCUW.org and hit that Donate Now button. Become a member. It means everything to us. It's how we stay afloat. Even a little bit helps. A lot helps even more. I mean, but it all adds up. You can become a sustaining member, which takes a little bit out of your account safely and securely through PayPal each month, or you can just do a one-time donation, however you see fit. Anything helps. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's Nancy from Angel Band.
And Allie Page from Angel Band.
And you're listening to Community Radio WCUW in Worcester, 91.3. Streaming at WCUW.org.
You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. I'd like to thank you for your support of community radio, and I'd like to thank all the listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We're joined by Ellen Jaffe Jones via Skype in Sarasota, Florida. She is the author of several vegan books, including Eat Vegan on $4 a Day, Paleo Vegan, Vegan Fitness for Mortals, Vegan Sex, Vegan for One. She is a nationally ranked sprinter and a chef and an animal rights activist, too. Let's continue our conversation with Ellen Jaffe Jones.
Pretty much every recipe out there can be veganized. And I just get so many people now because, you know, I have aged up and I just don't look anything like my age. You know, the interesting thing about competing in 5K racing is that they give you an award for second or third, usually, in your five-year age group. So I'm in the 65 to 69 age group. And, you know, sometimes I get carded by the race officials or other women in my age group because they just don't believe that I am about to turn 69. And usually I get pegged about 10 to 20 years younger than I am. And I think it's just all the magic of plants and running. That combination has really been so helpful for me. So I just want to get other people started on this journey because I know how difficult it can be depending where you're starting out and what kind of situation you're in. I know, like, I was trying to go to different before I wrote my books, and I was married to a guy, the guy who had the heart attack. Just you know, he was unfortunately, what happens when you have heart disease, even before you have a heart attack, is, you know, your oxygen supply is dwindling, and, you know, that affects all different parts of the body, not only the heart, but the other organs like the brain and things like how you think about things. And so, you know, he was just not supportive and was very suspicious of my vegan work. And, you know, it just, without going into more detail than that, it wasn't a healthy relationship the way it was working out. And being vegan is so much about health as well as saving animals. You know, it's just important to find people in your life who support that. And there's so many different support groups now, whether you're on Facebook or Instagram, different groups. I have a vegan runners group that has about 2,500 people on Facebook. So there are all these different ways we can connect and support each other now that just didn't exist when I started out doing this 40 years ago.
It is surprising that there are still a lot of myths about veganism, because when we're involved in the vegan community, it just seems so obvious that it's just the best way to live. And all around, like you said, whether it involves being compassionate and nonviolent to everyone of all species, or whether it's about health, yet there is still a lot. And I saw recently on one of your posts that one of the runners at one of your races said something to you about you can't race or run on a vegan diet. What was up with that?
Yeah, she came up to me. I had done this race, and this time of year in Florida, it's hard to find 5K races. I mean, especially with COVID too, add that on top of things. So I've been driving an hour or two just to do a 5K race from the Sarasota area. And so this one location I went to, it turns out there was a runner there I hadn't seen in at least 2 years. She used to come to all of the races I would do and place in her age group, which was not much younger than mine. And so she sees me, you know, and of course, like after the quarantine is over, people are just like running up to each other. Oh, hi, how are you? It's like real life. You know, I'm not seeing you on a Zoom meeting. So we come up to each other and she says, "Are you still doing that vegan crap?" I hope I can say that word. But that's the word she used. And I said, "Yes, I am." And, you know, I made sure I made a point after I placed in my age group when the race was over that I reconnected with her again to let her know, yes, that vegan crap was still responsible for my not getting arthritis at the age of 69. And that is one of the reasons that vegans do so well in no matter what the sport is. It's because we just don't get the inflammation that our meat-eating counterparts do. Animal protein lodges in the joints. You can Google it and find very detailed information about that. And so not getting arthritis, generally speaking, is one of the reasons that we can kind of sail through the running thing. I mean, if I had a nickel for every time I told somebody I was a runner and they would go, "Oh, my knees, oh, I can't run anymore because, you know, I've got arthritis in my hips. I have 2 new hip replacements." I mean, it just doesn't have to be that way.
Yes, thank you for being an inspiration and a great help to humanity.
When you understand it's the best thing you can do, not only for your health, the animals, and the planet, it really is a no-brainer. And I say that we have a lot of younger people who are vegan, a lot more younger people, because they grew up in the YouTube generation and they've seen the 6-minute segments like Dairy is Scary, which have you seen that, Marlene?
Yes, that's excellent, by Aaron Janis up in Canada. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, just videos like that, that, you know, when you post things like that, people go, "Okay, I'm done." You know, it's amazing how much a simple movie or video can really change people's minds. And, you know, hence the name The Game Changers, another mind-blowing movie that people see and think, you know, why isn't my doctor talking about these things? So we have all those different reasons, of course.
Yes. And I love how versatile you are with everything. And so I'm interested in hearing how you are now currently a real estate agent in Florida.
Real estate, what does that have to do with anything? Well, so sadly, you know, COVID, that darn thing, it ended so many careers. And, you know, I was a week away a year ago last March from hopping on a plane to speak at the Seattle Veg Fest for my 5th or 6th time, however many times I'd been up to the Northwest and loved it. And it just stopped overnight. So career in that regard was done. And, you know, here in Florida, where we've been working outside and the Veg Fests have always been outside for the most part, you know, they're starting up in little cities, but I'm on the board of Florida Voices for Animals. We put on the Tampa Veg Fest and we're still not doing it. So I'm not sure when life returns to normal, but you know, it's kind of sad the way our lives have changed in that regard. But so what happened was I ended up getting divorced from the guy I mentioned who had the heart attack, and so I was somewhat footloose and fancy free, and I had been going to some local meetups here put on by a guy who does real estate here in the Sarasota area. And as it turns out, we had met, he had a son who had some medical issues, and he was traveling around the country going to Veg Fest in search of answers. And he came to hear me speak at the Portland Veg Fest in 2017. And he came to my publisher's booth afterwards, bought a book, and took a picture, a selfie with the two of us. And he says, "Oh, you're from Sarasota too." So when I came back to Sarasota, I started going to meetups that he was having, potlucks, if you remember those, at his house. and he would have like 60 or 70 people. And the short story is, in the August before COVID, it's like BC, we both became available at the same time, and he said, "You want to have dinner as friends?" And, 6 weeks later, when he found out that I had never gone to a vegan restaurant for my birthday, so that was August, and then when we connected, and then November was my birthday. So he took me to a vegan restaurant for my birthday for the first time ever, and that just kind of won my heart. So that was November. March was COVID, and by that point, my apartment lease was up, and he said, "Why don't you just come move into my place?" So that's the story of why I'm doing real estate. He's been in real estate in the Sarasota market for 36 years, a broker, which means people work for him. He has about 50 agents who work in his office, and I'm one of them. So that's kind of how it's been. I was actually in the top five in sales last year, and it wasn't even a full year because of COVID. And was the first, was the number one woman in sales. And it wasn't because I got deals from him. It's actually, people are now buying properties sight unseen. And my passion, of course, has been growing our vegan community to the extent we can in real estate to have more vegans live here. It's already a very vibrant community, and just lots of community-supported agriculture farms. You can obviously exercise outside and be one with nature and all that good stuff that us vegans like to do. So that's been the pivot. We all have to figure out what we're doing in this new world. And it's been quite interesting, you know, watching people as I do my videos, and people say to me, "Wow, I want to live in a place like that where you have skimmer birds that you can just, you know, go see them nesting without disturbing them because they're protected." And all the different things that we try and do here to, even with our dense population, make sure that wildlife is allowed to exist, coexist with humans.
Sweet. Very sweet, Ellen. Love that story. Thank you. We're coming to a close in the interview for today. What additional messages do you have for our listeners?
Oh, gosh. Just listen to your heart. I always say, if you call yourself an environmentalist, you have to be out in nature observing what animals and the environment needs from us, especially in these challenging times. If I can help you in any way, my website is vegcoach.com, and you can just Google me and you'll find out probably more than you ever want to know, or different ways to connect up with me. I just really enjoy helping people wherever they are on their journeys, both, you know, whether it's real estate or, more importantly, veganism, because that can be a journey, a long one, for some people to get there.
Thank you, Ellen Jaffe Jones. Queen Ellen, thank you so much.
Marlene, thank you so much for having me. I loved it. Appreciate all your good work.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I look forward to following your work. Again, you're so diverse and amazing and talented and very, very helpful. You are greatly appreciated, Ellen.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your kind words, Marlene.
Thank you. Take care, sister. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Bye.
I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Yarrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com and also wcuw.org/vegannation. This is the music of vegan musician Joseph Peck. Wishing you a good day.